Honolulu, Hawaii, and this is Astrophysics Spiritual Dynamics, and tonight's class is Master Consciousness, Blessings of Light. We've been doing exercises and giving you the techniques to open particular areas of your consciousness, the repetition of meditation gives you depth, insight, perception. It gives you rhythm, and we've tuned you to ascending currents, outpouring the fullness of energy, and descending currents, and the calm state in that meditation by 6, 12, 6 and 12, the time periods to meditate. We give you the exercise to bring your awareness to the next subtlest level when you are working on your breath, listening to your breath or your heartbeat, bringing you to the autonomic level, and being able to perceive the habits, the emotions, the needs and desires of other people, as well as yourself. We brought you to listening to the inner sound when it is still, to open up the sympathetic level of the nervous system, where you can perceive mental waves and thoughts, mind strata, transference of thought and telepathy and those kind of things come with that awakening. And then by the visualization of the light in the Rainbow Bridge meditation, we've been opening the parasympathetic level of the nervous system, which deals with rejuvenation. It deals with light perception, your light body, your ability to move out of this physical existence into higher interdimensional levels. And in this practice of concentrating on your heart whirling and expanding to encompass not only your body but emotions and mind and soul and spirit divine, but also encompass your loved ones, the community you're in, the city, the state, the country, the continent, the world, the solar system, the galaxy, the universe, and beyond, into light and energy realms. And so we've given you the techniques of how to move your consciousness, and the only way that you will have the experience of this is by following the techniques of awakening in those areas. When I first got on the path, I said, why do I need a guru? Why do I need a spiritual teacher? Why do I need someone to tell me those things? God could talk to me. Why doesn't he just talk to me? Why does he have to talk to me through somebody else? Until I was about 35, I wouldn't listen to another teacher. And I got lots of problems and went through 2 years of dark night of the soul and all this because I didn't know a simple technique of transferring my attention. And I asked a teacher once, why do you need a guru? Why do you need a teacher? He says, because the teacher's like a guide. He's the one that knows the way there. And if you were going to go on a excursion in a foreign land, you would get a tour guide to help you see the sights and not miss any of the opportunities to get the best out of the tour. And if you were going to become a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a good artist, a good musician, in any of those things, you would look for an individual that masters in those levels and can do those levels, and we'd go to them to teach you, to show you some of the techniques and the shortcuts. This teacher told me we needed a teacher for those reasons. We may determine we're a surgeon, but we don't just go down and buy surgeon tools and start operating on the nearest individual that's in trouble. We go to school and we learn. So the scriptures tell us those that have seen the wisdom will lead us in the ways of wisdom. Those that know love lead us in the way of love, and those that know truth lead us in the way of truth. Those that know purity lead us in the way of purity. Those that know God lead us in the way of God. And so it's throughout all great scriptures of the Hinduism or ancient sciences and many of the ancient cultures, the holy science, the hidden science, as they call it, the esoteric sciences, the mystical trainings, all of them have system and discipline. Just as you must discipline yourself to the structure of doctor consciousness, as you're becoming a doctor, you need to learn to think like a doctor, to ascertain references like a doctor, to reflect like a doctor, and be at the point of view of a doctor in order to be a good doctor. So a teacher teaches us how to get to the right knowledge. A true spiritual teacher will be able to answer all of your questions, for God will be working through that teacher. When I started out on the path, I didn't hang around with those that were looking for teachers and looking for the teachings. I went to those that were giving the teachings, living and demonstrating it. I had been raised in the Christian religion, in the more mystical traditions of it, because my grandmother was worked with healing powers of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and she could heal by laying on of hands or at a distance. She could read the life records of individuals very easily. She taught us to travel out of our bodies and beyond physical realms. She taught us many metaphysical principles and powers from her experiences. But it was at one point, I was very much in the belief because of those things were happening. But then, like many of us, we get out in the world, and the world isn't doing what the great masters teach us. And so I couldn't find anybody that was demonstrating what Christ and these great teachers had demonstrated. And I was looking, and I couldn't find an example of it. First of all, I wouldn't have known one if I did find it. I wasn't enlightened enough to know who was the ones. And so I groped and I followed the shows, the ones that give the show and demonstrate their powers very flamboyantly and those kind of things. Hypnotists and people doing mind reading and those kind of things. Those were the obvious things. And so I started to look at that. But the power comes not from the teacher, but through the teacher's instruction. You have a direct experience with the light, the power, and the consciousness. And so a master's path is different than a student's path or a chela's path. The student goes to a teacher and lets that teacher direct them and do everything for them. And at one point, everyone must walk that path. But there comes a point when you enter the master's path where you must take the responsibility for what you have been given and demonstrate those things that you've been given. Those things that you've become enlightened to. And that's called mastery. And mastery is being able to do it at will. Being able to contact God at will, being able to be a yang channel at will, to be a channel for a message for a group at will. Now, I don't know whether I'm in the mood or not. Am I going to get this? A master does it at will. And he's always a possession of God and not a possession of man. And so the master is always possessed by spirit. And to be possessed by spirit, you must surrender to spirit. So a spiritual master is guided by spiritual powers and forces. And they are the ones lead us to the mastery because they live it, exercise it, and they die in that consciousness. So they're known as the living word. They're not just a bunch of words that we got in our intellect. They're the word in action. And so masters are those beings that are the word in action. Now there are different types of mastery. There's the mastery of the physical. And this is a transitory mastery. And we're not talking about the spiritual power over the physical. We're talking about physical mastery. That means to have a perfect body and to build the body and to work in mastering the body. Some do that. They do it with weights or exercises or these kind of things to condition the body. And so you have some of those that are mastering the body and mastering physical things. They master machinery. They master technology, those kind of things where it takes physical action to operate. And they may use their intelligence and they may use their emotional energy, but they're predominantly working to master physical. Then you have the masters that are mastering emotional, social levels. And these masters teach us how to be happy and how to love and things like that, like Dr. Pascal, his teaching of love. He's teaching us how to master that love. Not always from the spiritual level these beings are, and sometimes they don't even talk about God or any higher thing, only about the world, that energy. We see what the physical masters do, like Genghis Khan, many of them from that kind of era. When they come through, and if you didn't agree with them, they eliminate your physical body. See, they took mastery of the physical. Those ones that were emotional masters, those are the ones that came in and they did the emotional things, the sensational things, to the temples of love and orgies and all of those kind of things for sensation purposes. Like the Roman culture at the time there, sacrificing people to the animals to get the thrill and sensation out of that. It was very interesting at the end of the culture there, to make it more exciting, they would put poisonous snakes in a basket, and at some time during the performance they would cut the baskets free and throw them up on the audience. I guess to see if you could get the thrill of seeing your neighbor bit to death by some poison snake. So man has done some strange things for sensation. Then you had those willful mental masters of system and power, and they try to rule the world. You have those that try to master the mind and do all the powers of the mind. Well, none of these things can be mastered. The physical is transitory, the emotions and social power is transitory, mental power is all transitory. Energy means it's always changing form. Is never stabilized. So a master that seeks to master those levels must be very active and travels the silver path. The silver path is an active path. If you don't keep the silver polished, it turns black. And so if you don't constantly lift the weights and do the physical exercises, the body will deteriorate something like mine. So I used to do the weightlifting and all of that. And then when I stopped, everything went to pot, so to speak. When you stop those exercises of controlling your emotions, you'll find that your emotions will start getting out of hand again. If you don't practice those exercises that give you mental control, reason, logic, correlation, calculation, abilities to make assumptions, conclusions, comparisons, judgments, opinions, all the things of the lower mind, if you lose that power of system, then you have no power over the mind. Because it's transitory and it's constantly changing. So you constantly have to be in tune with that. Psychic energies run on both the silver and the gold path. There are certain psychic powers that you have to constantly work on to keep in tune with, to stay in tune with the vibrations and emanations of energy off of something there's an active way, but there's also a passive way. Some take the path of action, and some take the path of inaction. The path of inaction has surrender on it and brings the gold ray, where you're reflecting off of a substance that the worst thing that happens to the gold ray turns green and throws you back to the heart center out of this mastery level of gold. So the masters that are transitory go in the silver ray. Silver black, silver red, silver orange, silver yellow, silver green, silver blue, silver violet, silver indigo, silvery gold, silver white. And this is the path that means constant attunement and constant action. And it takes a constant dispensing of energy. Some of you might have been acquainted with the Course of Miracles. The Course of Miracles is a silver indigo ray. And their books are even colored silver and indigo. And the lady, which I admit had written the books, along with two of the gentlemen, which are associates, were in Hawaii once. I got a chance to go talk to them and look at their auras and read their auras. It's a constant exercise of keeping in unity. And it even has programming techniques to reprogram the subconscious mind in an assertive way or aggressive way. And so the silver path is aggressive, assertive. And the gold path is passive and receptive. You have these psychic powers that manifest on both of those. Then we come to the level of the creative master. And we have creative masters like Mozart, Bach, Chopin, the great classical writers, and the painters, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, and all of those painters. We have creative artists, those that can sing a song and take the whole audience to a whole other space of consciousness by pouring out the depth of their feeling and soul and power. They can cause people to come to tears or laugh or be calm or get excited. So they have creative masters and musicians. Creative mastery over different instruments. These are assertive energies. Creative mastery in the passive way would be a surrender and faith and stepping forth in that energy for inspiration and calm. If the music comes through, it would come through not because the individual knew notes and knew what those notes meant and how they were applied to the instrument. Creative music would come through in a channel, and it wouldn't be subject to the structure. And we hear some of that creative music that has eliminated the beat and does one steady flow of music. And so we have those type of creators now. They're taking out the bottom, so to speak, and only giving you the top part of the music. So you have a lot of creative energies in that way. And that comes the first. That's the first level that comes to the spiritual kingdom, is that blue ray of power. The lower centers, the physical, emotional, mental, and psychic centers, deal with the personality. The psychic center deals partly with personality, partly with spirit. But when we go to the higher abstract mind, the creative level of the blue ray, our mastery then steps into a more spiritual energy. We have an idea which is reflected in the filament of our mind. And then through visualization, we bring that idea out through our hand in a picture on a piece of paper. But it starts in a reflection in our mind. And then through the mental or spiritual coordination with the hand, we take and draw the picture. Open receptive energy is the way of receiving inspirational guidances and spirit guidance. Aggressive, there are those that want to take the kingdom by force. But the kingdom of God is won by surrender. and no one has been able to break its gates yet. The spiritual level we come to next is called individuality. You as a physiological, psychological, and spiritual being in your functioning, but still transcendent and pure above all of that. You're not the body, you're not the emotions, you're not the mind. You're the one experiencing those levels. This point of mastery comes in more detachment. And some people do this detachment to the point of disassociation with reality, disassociation with people, places, things, by going away. Some go to the cave, some go to the mountains, some go by the sea, some go meditate in a dark room, some walk around in crowds separate from everyone and withdrawn. There's a movement inwards in mastery and a movement outwards. Your outer life is a transitory life and is objective and has separate elements in it. Your inner life is subjective and everything within it is one. There is no separateness. And when you get to a certain point of this individuality, you realize that your inner self and outer self, there is no difference. That you're the one that's experiencing both of those, just like you're experiencing your lower and your higher self. And on the path to this mastery, you may get to a point where you come to spiritual schizophrenia, where there's a good part of you and a bad part of you, and they're fighting one another. Those voices will always be around, and you can heed them or not. You have your free will choice as an individual to choose to do that or not. At this individuality and the realization of it, you have completed an involutionary cycle. Once you realize you're an individual, you have completed the involutionary cycle of coming from the Godhead to the furthest point from the Godhead, individuality. And when we came to this planet, we're supposed to learn this individuality. Without knowing your individuality, you won't have clear seeing or clairvoyance, ability to see others clearly. The second point is the merging point where we come to universal beingness, oneness, and we hear a lot about oneness in the mastery at that level. Now, when we're at this level, we can begin to tap the universal mind, and now we'll start talking about the mental powers and the powers of mastery of the mind. There's only one mind, one infinite intelligence, and you, by your individual associations with experience, make reference and associations with this mind. And so you are touching this universal mind by the ability of yourself to be open to it. The more you can surrender and open your mind, the more of the universal intelligence you'll be able to comprehend and be aware of. In 1979, I was on the island of Maui, and I was talking with Uri Geller and Buckminster Fuller and a psychic named Ernest Villalueva, and we were in a discussion about universal mind. And Buckminster Fuller was saying that the universal mind of man, the collective consciousness of humanity, has 40 trillion separate pieces of information interplaying one with another in it. Now, I don't know where he got the number, and I never seen that number anyplace else, but that's what he said. And I believe he was talking in reference to the 40 trillion cells that we also have in our brain. And so we actually have a cell to touch every aspect of the universal mind of man. But we don't use this mind, we don't use our total mind, we only use part of it. And sometimes when you're using the back part of it is going on, the autonomic part of it that beats your heart and takes and pumps the blood and causes your lungs to breathe and your lymphatic system to work and your glandular system and circulatory, respiratory, nervous system, bone system, all this to work. You have this autonomic part of the brain that goes on digesting your food for you. You just put it in. You enjoy putting it in. And then the body is to take care of it. Sometimes we get out of balance and the body doesn't take care of it. We don't have the right hormonal excretion and we don't put the right stuff in. And it can go to both extremes. So you're not using all of this brain consciously, just like you're not using all of universal mind consciously. A lot of people think that they don't have access to it. But every one of you that is sitting in this room have as much access to universal mind as any other being that ever walked on the earth. You have the ability to do the same thing. But you may have been believing and telling yourself something else. When some of these levels open, it is quite dramatic for the individual. If they don't understand it, they might think they're going crazy or off the deep end. I have in the back of the room a book called Visualized Prayer, which I wrote when I was first on the path, when I was making transitions, and I knew it would be important to have these examples for later, because I was told that many people went through those same things. So I wrote them all down in a book called Visualized Prayer and the different sequential things that happened. And there was one time when I had been in deep meditation and I was aggressively working. I was going to break through the past thought ring that held me to human consciousness. I wasn't just going to break out of my body, I was going to break out of humanity. So I was concentrating on a fourth dimensional shift and doing